Welcome to Happily Family. I'm Cecilia
And
Hilke,
I'm Jason Hilke.
and we are delighted today to have Vibha Arora with us. Vibha is a transformation and parenting coach specializing in helping her clients look under the surface to find solutions that are more than just a quick fix. She works with clients and parents virtually and facilitates parent education classes online and in person. Vibha has a master's degree in marriage and family therapy, is a certified parent teacher, positive discipline facilitator, a conscious parenting guide, mom of two young adults, and is the host of the podcast Kaleidoscope, Shifting Perspectives with a Twist. Welcome, Vibha. It's great to have
Great
you.
to have you back again, Bella.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here. I wanted to first ask you about a concept that you write about. It's called the circle of control. Tell me
Yeah.
about that.
Well, I think circle of control came from this idea that the more parents and people that I worked with, the more I was realizing the pattern, especially when it came to parenting, parent-child relationships, is parents wanting what they want, which is fine, but they wanted to control how it happened, right? So we all want the basic same things for our kids to be healthy and safe and happy and successful. Like those are the things that I think are common internationally. Like all parents want that for our kids. And the way people were going about that was trying to manipulate the situation so that they would get the outcome that they wanted. And the harsh reality that is kind of a wake-up call for a lot of my clients and parents that I work with is you actually don't have that control. And when I say you, I mean no human being actually has control over another human being, no matter how short or what age they are, right? So we can't make them do anything. The inside of the circle of control is really where we want to focus because inside of our circle of control, it's pretty small, but it encompasses our own thoughts, our own feelings, and our own actions. That we do have control of.
Yeah.
Control. Anything else is outside of that, right? And so the amount of time that we spend worrying and fretting and venting to friends and trying to figure out how to, if you actually sit down and draw that circle of control, so much of that stuff is falling outside of the circle instead of inside of the circle.
Yeah, you had an acronym TEE. Can
Yeah,
you talk about
T.
that?
T. Where to spend your T? So the acronym is for time, effort, emotion, and energy. So we're constantly spilling our tea in places that have no benefit, right? You're not going to get the outcome that you want, no matter how much time, effort, emotion, and energy you spend. Versus if you take back the control and actually give it to yourself, empower yourself, then you can pour into yourself. And that works much better, not only for you as a parent, but also the ripple effect, kids, your family, and everybody else. So I'm starting to pick up here when we're talking about this circle of control, that there's a bit of an illusion around control. Like I have an illusion of control as a parent, especially when the kids are younger. I mean, it's a little more obvious thing as they've gotten older. Like I recognize, like, okay, they can drive places and they can talk in full sentences. But like when they're younger, like I still think like, I got control. Like I can control them. Maybe even I mean, besides the obvious, like I can pick them up and move them. But I mean, like beyond that, like could you talk a little bit about like what do you mean I don't have control of my kids when they're young? Like that's like one of the things I think I should have. Control your
Yeah.
kids, right? That's what people say.
Yes. You're absolutely right. It is an illusion of control, and it's not your fault, and it's not our fault as parents. It's the conditioning that we get from culture that is all around us. And in some cultures, more so than others, but it's everywhere. This idea, like you just said, that you should be able to control your kid. And if you're not, that equals you as a bad parent. So we end up with all this shooting on ourselves, and it's actually not attainable. So we're constantly chasing something that we can never get, right? Like, as for when your kids are younger, you should be able to have them go to bed at 8 o'clock, but you cannot make a child, like, you can't hold their eyelids down and make them sleep, or, you know, they should be potty trained, or they should. And even when they get older, to your point, when they're driving, you should, you know, your kids should have safety in the car. You're not in the car. How do you control that? It's an illusion, and it's a wake-up call, I think, for a lot of parents is, okay, if I've been told this long that I'm supposed to have control and I don't, then what do I have? How do I do this now if I don't have any control? And I think the reminder is so important. You never did, right? So you cannot use what you never had. That's the first part. And then the second piece of it is let's look at what you do have, which is influence, right? You always have influence, and the way to exert your influence or use your influence is through connection and embodiment. You know, if we don't want our kids on the phone, get off the phone. And I know we don't like that, but that is, they are always watching, if not always listening, they're always watching. So that is how we use our influence. We create connection with our kids, right? Like your friends want to do stuff for you, not because you're controlling them, but because they feel connected. And it's the same thing with parents and kids. When we have connection, it's natural to want to do what the other person is asking or requesting. Doesn't mean they're going to like doing the dishes, but they understand it, right? And they're doing it from that place. Yeah. Yeah.
I wanted to make sure that if we needed to or we wanted to go back and talk about tea more, because I really liked what you were saying there about spilling our tea. And inside this world of the illusion of control that I'm trying to wrap my head around, like,
Yeah.
okay, if you say so.
Yeah, it'll take a minute.
Speaking as like a control freak, that I really liked control. So, okay, it's an illusion. I get that. Tell me more about spilling my tea.
Yeah. So spilling your tea, because ultimately, because the circle of your control inside of it is your thoughts, your feelings, your actions. So your time, how you choose to spend your time, how you choose to spend your effort, your energy, and the emotions that you feel are all actually in your control, right? So if we actually use our tea for ourselves instead of trying to place it on somebody else, we're going to have much more benefit. You don't have to like what your kid or your teen is doing, but you do get to choose the emotion that you're going to express. Is it going to be a reaction or is it going to be a response? Are you going to take the pause? Are you going to go deeper into what this is bringing up for you? And I appreciate, Jason, that you said that you're a control freak and owning that is important. And I just want to point out on the flip side of control, right? The reason that people really enjoy control is because the flip side of it is anxiety. And if we don't have control, then chances are we have anxiety. That's the kind of underbelly of it. So it makes perfect sense to avoid anxious feelings. We try to control. And that's great in your own environment with your own thoughts, feelings, and actions. It just doesn't work on other people.
I've noticed
Yeah.
that. And, there's something also that's a bit of a relief to see that I have the ability to control myself. Like the thing that I can control, I actually can do it. Like that sounds maybe redundant, but like rather than the frustration of trying to control things around me, people around me, which is so difficult to do, the thing that I can have an effect on is myself. And so that's a
That's
bit of
right.
a relief, right? Like,
Yeah.
and that can have an influence or an impact on other people, but here's where I can actually have the biggest control and I actually have some agency.
That's right. Some agency, absolutely. And Dr. Jane Nelson from Positive Discipline, she talks about one of the tools that parents can use is decide what you will do. Not what you want them to do or what they're doing or how you're going to punish them, but decide what I'm going to do. Right. And yes, you can have that agency. And I think a lot of parents sometimes need a little bit of support with what those tools are, right? Because that's not something we're taught in school. Because again, culture has told us that there's hierarchy and that parents should have all the answers and should. So it might take a little bit of leaning into your own self-growth as a person and as a parent to learn how to actually exercise that control. Right? What does that look like? What do you do in this moment versus that moment? Yeah, like kind of having like a toolbox of things that you can go to when you do need to control yourself.
Yeah, I
Okay.
like that.
So we want to talk about that toolbox and what's in there. But first,
I know some of the things in my toolbox.
okay, first,
First.
I wanted to ask about this concept. If we don't have control of what our kids do, then I think what that also means is that we are maybe not responsible for their misbehavior. And we're also not responsible for their success. We can't necessarily take credit for their success. Is that true?
100%.
100%. And people will disagree with me, and culture will disagree with me, and some of the laws that are going into effect in different places will even disagree with me. But I strongly believe that that is true. That actually becomes enmeshment because this is a separate human being. The whole goal is in raising a human that can independently exist and survive and thrive without you. So, what we do as parents is we attach all of their failures, if that's what we'll call them, and their successes to ourselves. We're very selfish and very like, it's all about me. It's actually nothing about you. It's they're baked, they're out, they're doing their thing. They're going to make mistakes, they're going to fall. Our job is not to join them in the, oh my gosh, I'm a horrible parent, right? That shame spiral that happens, that's not helpful to ourselves or to them. So it's about learning how to step out of the shame and being able to see the situation for what it is, the mistake for what it is, the child for who they are at the end of underneath it, and that they are separate from us. They are not the same person as us.
That could be kind of disappointing for some parents around the topic in particular of the kids' successes, because I think some parents really they want to see their kids succeed, and then they start to think like, how, well, does that mean that I can't be happy for them?
I was just
Like,
thinking about how nice it was. One of our kids is about to succeed in an area. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so great. And I'm feeling so good. But
yeah.
And I think you absolutely can feel good and you can be happy for them or with them, but not because of them, right? Like you cannot use your child's success as your barometer for happiness or your barometer to define you're as a successful parent because your child has succeeded in XYZ. That's just not how it works because then the flip side also would have to be true, right? I think we can be happy for them. Absolutely. We can cheer them on. And it always, like, I always find it so fascinating around graduation time, when kids are graduating from elementary or high school or college, whatever, and the parents are getting the congratulations. And I'm like, I didn't just graduate. My kid did. And I'm super excited for them. But it's interesting that we kind of lump it all together, right?
Yeah, it's actually a little awkward, I would say, in culture and society, because yeah, we recently had that experience, and I'm like, yeah, I'm really happy for him. I didn't do it. I mean, we supported him, but like he did the work, right? Like, and that, but if that's a really, you can't have that conversation necessarily when someone's saying congratulations on college, but it is kind of like you said, not a cultural or societal norm. It's what is a norm is to take credit for
That's
what
right.
their successes are, but at the same time, to be responsible for when things are going poorly, like the kid struggling, regardless of the age, and people look at the parent. And so, can we just, I just want to talk a little bit about this. We don't have to talk about this too long if you don't want to, but like, there is that part of me, and I think of other people, of like, yeah, but the parent is still responsible for how that kid's turning out. Like, and if that kid's misbehaving, there's still something like the parent has been doing, especially the younger ones, where like they should be like, and I'm not talking about an extreme example. I'm just talking like the parents are they're still responsible for how that kid's turning out and what the kid's doing. How do we balance that?
I hear you. And I think responsible is a really heavy word, right? I think we have to also look at the privilege and lack of privilege that a lot of parents have as far as resources. And like we were talking about tools, a lot of parents don't have that. They have their own struggles, whether it be emotional, mental struggles, psychological, whatever. So they're doing the best that they can. I really believe. And this is, I see most people on the planet are doing the best they can. Of course, they're the outliers, right? So for us to then point the finger at a parent for a child's, temper tantrum at Target, and everybody's looking at the parent, that I, as a parent, don't have anything to do with the fact that my kid has thrown themselves down on the floor. That kid is exercising his inability in that moment to control his own emotions. Now, I as a parent can teach him those tools and help navigate that, but what if I as a parent don't have those tools, right? Because kids aren't the only ones throwing temper tantrums at Target. So it's the same thing that happens with kids that happens with adults, and it's really about regulation. It's about nervous system regulation, emotional regulation, and if they've never been taught, the parent or the kid, then what are we expecting is going to happen, right?
Oh, that's great. I like that grace that we can give to parents
And to
and
ourselves.
to ourselves
To
around
ourselves.
that.
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
would
Love to talk about what are some of the tools in the toolkit.
that maybe we haven't gotten taught yet.
Yeah. Off the top of my head, one of my favorite ones is always the pause. Push the pause button. And my kiddults now will tell you, like, I did this when they were growing up, like mid argument. I'd be like, hold on a second. I need a pause. They'd be like, but I'm like, yeah, hold on a second. Because that pause allows us to get our nervous system, our emotions regulated again. Because once the words fly out of our mouth, you know the damage is already done. You can't take it back, right? So my goal was always to like try my best. Doesn't mean it always happened, to before it leaves my mouth, to make it go through a little filter. So I would give myself a pause. And then that allows us to be able to respond to the situation rather than react. We're in react mode so much. It's life is moving at that fast pace that it's so easy to just instantly react. That's not always it's hardly ever the best course of action, especially when we're dealing with kids and we're trying to have influence and we're trying to have connection. Pause. That's one of my favorite tools. So I think a second tool that's really important is self-care. I think we get this message as parents that we're supposed to be almost like martyrs. You know, kids are always first, and there's like a, you know, kids needs first, then the marriage if there is one, and then me. And that whole model needs to be flipped, in my opinion, because it's when we take care of ourselves. And I don't mean like bubble baths and massages, which are fabulous and I enjoy them. I mean taking care of our own mental and emotional health, right? Like being able to understand and introspect. What is this about what this kid is doing that is activating what in me? Because as Dr. Shefali from Conscious Parenting talks about, so often, more times than not, it's not the kid, it's us. The kid is doing something that is activating some past pattern that we have that has not been resolved or worked through yet. And it's actually an invitation and an opportunity for us to introspect and do our own work before we lash out on the kid. So again, combining that with the pause, I think those are two really powerful tools.
That's great. I like those. Those are good reminders too. And I would say of any age kid, any point in our parenting, and maybe even just
Absolutely.
in any relationship for that matter. But those
Yeah.
are all great reminders.
You used a term earlier, embodiment, and I wanted to ask you to explain more about what that means for folks in the audience that are not familiar with that.
Sure. So, you know, you hear people sometimes saying, oh, as parents, you should be a role model. And even the word role model or act as if they're fake, they're not real. Embodiment is when you actually are that. You are becoming that that you want to see in the other person. Right? Embodiment is when it's who you are. So it doesn't come from a hierarchy of like, you know, do what I say, not what I do. That's a very antiquated way of parenting, I would say, right? And I know that many of us were brought up that way, but it's more about, okay, if I want my kid to be kind, I'm not going to get kindness by saying, be kind, be kind, be kind, be kind. I'm just going to be nagging. Where I can influence through embodiment kindness is making sure that my kid is seeing when I'm being kind because that's who I am as a person, right? So when you are just showing up as your authentic self, that is embodiment.
And it sounds almost like, I don't know why I see it this way. It's like this level of depth beyond just role modeling. It's not
Yeah.
like, hey, I'm gonna go be kind so they can see that I'm being kind. But no, it's like really being
Authentic. You're being,
kind, yeah,
yeah. It's who
authentic.
you
Like,
are. It's authentic. That's
yeah,
right. You're
right.
not faking it. You're not putting on a show. You're not like, ooh, just because they're watching now. It's who you genuinely are, right? And then that also comes down to family values. You know, when everybody in the household has a value of kindness to others, it's natural, you know, that the people within that family are all going to be kind people. Now, you might have a one-off every once in a while, and there's other reasons for that. But I think embodiment gets us much further than trying to like pound it into them or make them be, because again, back to control, we can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what if,
Sorry. That's kind
yeah.
of like the good news, bad news, it sounds like to me. Of like, I kind of
Yeah.
want my kids to be better than me, but that means that I have to also kind of step up a little
That's
bit. Like,
right.
I want my kids to be exercising. Guess what? Maybe I need to not just do it, but actually like make it part of who I am.
That's
Like,
right.
it's like a good news, bad news kind of issue here.
But
Okay.
it's actually easier and harder
Yeah,
all at the same
yeah.
time.
Yeah, right. Like
Yeah.
it's good news that I have control over it. I can do something about it. It's something that is, you know, yeah, maybe even easier. The bad news is that I am fully, I have to do it. Like
You have to do it.
I
You
can't
get
just
to
say.
do it because it also goes back to self-care, right? Like so often when I'm working with clients, they can't choose the healthy option for themselves. But if I go, okay, what if it was your daughter? They immediately can pick the healthy option. So this idea of wanting better for our kids, I get that and I understand that. How about wanting better for us?
Yeah. Oh, that fits so nicely into self-care. Just like that. I just like that whole yeah, embodiment and self-care. We want our kids to take care of themselves, so we should be taking care of ourselves. It all
Right.
works.
Yeah.
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 I was just thinking about a thing that happened yesterday.
You eating
But she,
cereal for dinner and wanting our kids to eat differently?
stop saying all my secrets. That's just when you're not home. No, I was thinking actually about I sent one of our kids a text message and said, "Oh, hey, I'm started doing this thing that I told you I was going to do for you like months ago, and I'm sorry it's taken me so long. I feel bad about it." But what I'm realizing is that I role modeled for her, like feeling bad about, and she's like, "No, you're okay. I get you're dealing with all these different things. I didn't feel bad that you had, deprioritized this.
Sure.
But I role modeled that maybe she should feel bad in the future if she lets down somebody." And that's what I'm realizing. Yeah. So when we mess up, this is going to lead him to my next question. So
Yeah.
when we mess up, we're not embodying what we want to do.
Yeah.
What can we do to get back on track?
Recognizing it, awareness, like you just did, I think that's always the first step in any type of changed behavior, right? And when I used to teach social emotional skills to elementary school students, one of the acronyms that I used, and I still use it with my adult clients today, is OAT, OAT. Own up, apologize, try to fix it. That's it. It's going back to the conversation with repair. It's going back with, hey, yesterday when I said that I felt bad for deprioritizing, I thought about it and I realized I want to do that over. I think I made a mistake there. That's the owning up. Apologize. I'm sorry if it came across in a way that made you feel any sort of way. That wasn't my intention. And what I actually want to say is, it's okay as human beings for things to shift in priorities. And I appreciate that you understand that and give me grace. And I'm going to do that for myself too.
Yeah.
There it
And
is.
what I like about this too, what I'm hearing in the undercurrent is this is not a message of shame. I'm not
That's right.
shaming myself. I'm not feeling guilty. I've actually already processed
Yes.
my
Yeah.
own stuff.
That's right.
So I'm not going back to like beg for forgiveness.
No.
It's just, hey, this happened, and here's what I'm going to do in the future.
Correct. And it gives permission for them to be human too, instead of this perfection thing that they, that people think that everybody wants perfection. Not really, because it's not possible, right? And to own it and not make it a big dramatic thing. Like it's normal. It's like when you bump somebody in an elevator, you go, "Excuse me," or "Sorry." It's just the same thing. But I think so often, even if we have the awareness in this conversation, we don't go back to the person, whether it be the kid, the spouse, the coworker. We don't use our words and explain it, right? So it's kind of left hanging almost. And those open tabs take from our tea. Because when you go to bed at night, even though you think like you've had a great day, there's a little tab that's open as, ooh, that conversation with that text with my daughter, I didn't go back to that yet. And it drains. It sits there open and just drains all the tea out.
So that's this kind of goes back to what we were talking about, societal and cultural kind of norms that there is, I think, a large percentage of people, maybe just culturally, this idea that as parents we shouldn't make mistakes. And so, right, like, and I think that many people here probably recognize like that's not the case, and that, and they can see the reality underneath that. But yeah, we all make mistakes, and yet we still act, I think, as parents in particular, like we shouldn't make mistakes, and that we're not perfect, but we, this whole idea of apologizing, like, or even just saying that, treating myself like I'm human, and kind of talking to our kids at any age, like young, very young to, like kidults, like, did I get the term right? To the kidults, like, for us to have the, I don't know if it's humility or the
Vulnerability.
vulnerability to be able to say, like, I can make a mistake and I'm okay, and not having the shame that goes on with that. Maybe could we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think that first of all, I think it's sad. It's just sad that parents do feel that way, and it also makes me think that they're expecting the same from their kids. If I'm not allowed to make a mistake, that then means that my kid isn't allowed to make a mistake either. And imagine the pressure that that puts on a kindergartner or, somebody who's applying to colleges or whatever the case may be. Age doesn't matter. That's a lot of pressure. And I think it also comes from this hierarchy. And I do believe that there's a cultural piece to it that parents aren't wrong, right? We know everything, which is so funny, because we know nothing. Like they literally are our teachers, right? The whole thing is flipped. I talk about the fact that if it, it's called parenting, right? But it's like we're actually kidding when we say that to ourselves, because what do we know, right? I think that I'm not saying it's an easy thing to do. I rattled it off like, oh, you just do oat, but it takes time to get there. It takes time to shift and know that when you do choose to do things differently, you're going to get a whole lot of back talk from culture, family, religion, society, because they're all doing it this way. When we step out, it's hard. It's not always easy. I do know it's worth it, but I think that that's really important to acknowledge. It's not easy for everybody to do that. And I think it takes practice with everything else, right?
Thanks. That's great. I like the just acknowledging that it's hard, acknowledging that it's a journey, it's a path, it's something that we work towards. It's not instant. And there's a lot of personal work that can happen as a part of this. So I really
And
appreciate
getting
that.
community, right? And support around that. Like, if you're going to choose to do things differently, find the people that are also doing the things differently. Because loneliness is a thing, right? If you feel like you're parenting in this isolated way, even though you believe that it's going to be ultimately good for your kids, it's really difficult to do it alone, right? So it helps to have other people in your in your village.
This is a good segue
Okay.
for the person who's listening to us talking and is saying, like, okay, I get this, but what do I tell myself when my child is throwing themselves on the floor of the grocery store and people are looking at me and I know that I'm going to do something different, but I'm feeling judged, or I'm at the in-laws' house and my child has thrown themselves on the floor, or my teen is being sassy and my in-laws are like, really, you're going to let them treat you that way? What do I do in those moments to just give a little nurturing to myself?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a very real factor, right? You bring up the in-laws. It can be in-laws, it can be parents, it can be friends at the barbecue, whatever it is. First, let's acknowledge that that's real, that we as human beings feel judgment. We feel the eyes. We feel people rating us as a parent. What are they going to think? And it's easy to say, well, what they think doesn't matter, but it does. And it does. It always will, because we're humans, right? So the first thing that I always suggest in those situations, as much as possible, remove yourself and the kid or the teen from the eyes. Get off the stage. Because right now people have the popcorn out and they're watching to see how this is all going to pan out. What are you going to do? How are you going to go left? How are you going to go right? And so we can judge and score you. So we want to get off the stage as soon as possible. And I used to, when I would go to my parents' house and the kids were younger and a tantrum would happen or whatever, I would go, okay, that's it. You, me, in the other room. And I'd say it like I was like a mean mom, right? Which is like what my parents wanted to see. And I would take them into the room, close the door, and I'd just be like, okay, dude. Let's just be in here, pretend like I'm getting really mad at you, and let's just figure out what's actually going on. What do you need? And I'm able to have that one-on-one because my kid knows me and I know my kid. And we can then go, okay,
Let's both just take a deep breath. I know, I saw what happened. Okay, how are we going to fix this when we go out? Okay, are you feeling better? Yes. Am I feeling better? Yes. Okay, let's go back out there. Let's do this again. We come out, and depending on which kids, one of them was a very dramatic, like, oh, I can't believe my mom's so late. Like, oh, can't believe I got in trouble for that. And she would act the whole thing out, and it's like, okay. And so everybody looks good, and we just play a little game. But I know the connection with my kid is what matters the most. And so one of the things that I always say is, remember who you tuck in at night. I'm not tucking in my parents at night. I'm tucking in my child. I'm not tucking in the neighbor. I'm not tucking in the school teacher or even the principal. It's my kid, right? So what is going to work for us? Now we can, and Dr. Shefali talks about this too, right? We can go through the hoops and we can play the game. That's fine. But at the end of the day, we know the truth.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
Oh, the secret's out.
Yeah, no, that is like so genius. Of all the interviews that we've done, I've not heard that technique of like playing the game.
Play the game.
So great.
And who do you tuck in at night? That's
Yeah, and who do you tuck in at
and
night?
honestly,
Yeah.
like we kind of tuck each other in at night. So why
That's
should we
right.
be blaming our partner for something that's happening as well? Like if we're gonna, because it comes up, I think with people that are parenting with a partner,
Yeah.
there's differences, there's things that
Yeah.
happen, and it
Yeah.
can happen when there's a lot of heat going on with the kiddo, or there's stuff going on with the kid, and then all of a sudden there's this energy and that idea of just like, who are you tucking in at night? Not just the
Yeah.
kiddo,
That's
but
right.
my partner as well.
Okay, so I want to ask
That's
about
right.
that then as we're wrapping up, because sometimes there can be differences that occur between partners
Yeah.
in how to parent.
in how to
Well, other
parent.
things too.
Yeah.
Yeah. The dishwasher, the shower curtain.
But specifically to parenting,
Let's talk
will
about
this
parents.
surprise you?
Parenting,
Narrow it
that seems to be
down.
the topic right now, so.
Okay, so when there are differences in parenting about how to do things, I realize I can't control him either.
That's right. That's right.
What else can I do, or what can he do when I do something wonky?
Never.
It does happen.
I'm the only wonky one here. I
That's
often
right.
said
That's right.
that.
It always surprises me that parents are so surprised that they have different philosophies and ways of parenting. Of course you do, because you're different people, right? So this idea of, we need to provide a united front. It's even the words, a united front. Like, what is that? It's once again, we're acting. We're not being authentic. Authentic and true is your dad is this way, your mom is this way, right? One parent is this way, one parent is that way. We're not going to change that. But what I would love for the kids to be able to see is healthy disagreement. Oh, well, I don't think that they should go to the movies because blah, 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 blah. Oh, well, I think da, 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 because, okay, and then we have some options. Do you want to talk about this in the other room? Do you want to talk about this later? Do you want to take this one and I'll take the next one? There's ways for our kids to see, oh, there's a system here. System skills are an important part of age and stage development, right? They need to know what teacher do you have to write in blue ink, what teacher do you have to write in pencil, and if they can learn which parent to go to for what, that's not manipulation, that's brilliant. That's human skills, right? So we're teaching them, and if you fake it and pretend to, okay, whatever you say, they see right through it anyway, and it just creates more tension than is necessary. Right. It goes along with like, should parents argue in front of their kids? Yes, except to completion. Because oftentimes, and I don't know about you guys, but like an argument will happen, whatever, the kids will go to bed, and later that night, you guys will talk about it, you'll apologize, you'll fix it, whatever. The kid misses that part, right? So they don't see the closure of that. So we want to make sure we do the full circle with them watching.
And I liked how you talked about embodying healthy conflict. Like
Yes.
that's if we're going to argue, if we're going to disagree, let's embody what it looks like to do
That's
that
right.
in a healthy way for our kids to be able to see that
That's right.
and seeing it full circle. Yeah, 'cause that's one of the things we've struggled with, and one of the things we try to do is we come back to the kids and say, okay, so I know you guys saw this. This is what we did. This is what we worked on. It's not ideal, but that at least gives us a way to try to
Absolutely.
bring it full circle.
If they
That's
didn't
right.
see the full
Yeah,
thing.
if they didn't see the full thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But it's
Yeah.
always so fun talking to you.
Same.
Enjoy all the new words that I learn. And as we're wrapping up, is there anything that you want to leave us with or any final words?
So I think, we were talking about tools, and I think it's really important for parents. And I know, again, we live in this instant society where everything happens, with a click of a button, and everything is so warp speed fast. If we can remember to put down the remote control, right? The buttons that we think that we can push that is going to control somebody else, and instead pick up that trusted compass, because though we can't control, we can guide. Right. We are now entering the stage with our kids, no matter what age and stage they are. Let's step more into the guide role than the like policing role. I think that will make a huge difference, no matter what age your child is at.
That's awesome.
Love it.
How could people find out more about you and what you have available online? You've talked about a few different things here.
I have a control-free parenting quiz that people can log on to and take that, and that'll give them some information, just kind of like where they are in the spectrum right now. And then if they would like to work more on that or just for having the knowledge, and that's a good way to stay in touch with me too.
Okay, great. We'll get the link from you and put that in the speaker notes,
Perfect.
and people
Yep.
can get to it through that.
Okay.
As always, it's good talking to you. It's
You
some
too.
fun,
Both of
and
you.
look forward to talking to you again in the future. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right, bye-bye.